back on Downtown Sport 31. And right in the nick of time here, we welcome in our friend Nick Coit of ABC 6 in Providence. Hello there, Nick.
Hello there, Rich. What's going on?
Well, just getting through some enjoying some beautiful late summer weather here in New England. I hope it's the same down Rhode Island way.
Well, it is, and I was actually just driving through the southern part of the state, so I just went through Newport, and it feels like midsummer kind of thing. It is beautiful down here this time of the year, so yeah, it's the same thing.
Were you, checking on your yacht?
I have my yacht, and I have my summer home down in Newport. just driving through because it's the place with the least amount of traffic.
There you go, yeah, because everybody's out on their yacht.
Yeah, exactly. Go figure.
Well, let's see. Where to begin? Well, let's start with the most recent New England sporting event, and that's last night. I've said it earlier. I don't know what's going to happen to them, whether they'll make the playoffs or not, but I love that the Sox are playing meaningful games in mid-September, and what a finish to last night's game.
Meaningful September baseball. That's all you can ask for. They're in the hunt. They're in the race. That's what we like if we're a baseball fan. And, you know, I keep calling on the air, I keep calling this Red Sox team the Chumbawamba Sox because they get knocked down, but they get up again. And so, it's been really, really entertaining. It's been so fun to watch. And, you know, that was a huge win last night, a huge win to keep them in the race, you know, and keep pace because, you know, you lose last night. Then you drop another game because the Twins won and the Tigers are gaining momentum. And so, you really have to – every night matters now. And, you know, that includes starting tonight. This is a huge series. The Yankees can try to knock you out, but, you know, you'll try to keep going here too. And if you can get to next weekend in that series with the Twins and be, you know, right there, 2-3 games in the wild card, you're setting yourself up for a really exciting finish to the season. And that would basically be like a playoff series, and that would be really, really fun. But, you know, it was great to see the resiliency of this team. It's kind of shown throughout the summer, and, you know, that's all you can ask for as a fan. It's been fun.
And I watched last night Tyler O'Neill on absolute fire lately, 5 homers in the last 5 games, and I was wondering, what do they do? Do they take a run at bringing him back? You know he's going to produce whenever he's in the lineup, but you also know he's going to miss a lot of games because that's his career history.
It is his career history. It's an interesting case, and maybe it is like the Hunter Renfro case from a couple of years ago where, you know, you're tempted to keep him, but, you know, now is the time where if you're Craig Breslow in the organization, you have to think about the future and its arrival, and you now have the number one prospect in baseball in Roman Anthony, who is an outfielder, and so, you know, when do you believe he's going to arrive? Does that affect the decision as well in terms of keeping O'Neill around? I'm not sure, but boy, what a great move. Boy, a great move. 30 home runs now this season. He's added a lot of power. And, you know, if you want to keep that power around, you feel like that, you know, he can sustain that and help you going forward, then maybe you do keep him around. But it's an interesting decision. I can see it going either way for the reason stated here.
Yeah, and I don't know what will happen with him. Boy, you got to tip your cap, though, to Trevor Story, who nobody thought was going to be back before the end of this season.
Yeah, and I like it. I like that he's fought his way back, and he can help you. I mean, at the very least defensively, he can help you in the middle of that infield. And, you know, defensive help, this team, that youth has shown through on this team in terms of the defense at times, and they've cleaned it up compared to probably last year, but anything can help. And so the fact that he's out there, absolutely. And I think there was a desire for him to get back, you know, as this team is trying to make the playoff push, and anybody can help. And so kudos to him. And, you know, it's nice to see that these guys around the organization are motivated to try to keep this push going.
I did read just a couple hours ago that James Paxton says this is it. He's going to retire at the end of this season.
And that's a shame because it's a tough way for things to sort of end. It was a good, solid move at the deadline. It just, injuries happen. That's sports. So it's a shame because he would help them right now too. It's a shame the whole, you know, pulling Rich Hill off of his, you know, coaching ranks and putting him back on the field didn't work out either. But, you know, it shows you that they've tried a lot of different things here, you know, with this roster this year. But I hope in the off season that the Red Sox can, you know, with the arrival of their young talent coming very soon, with the way that they've played with some of the talent they have in the major league roster, that at this time next year, they're not resorting to bringing back 35 and 44-year-olds, and they're actually investing in some, you know, really big talent to help them, you know, compete at the big league level like the Red Sox should.
Well said, my friend. Nick Coit with us here on Downtown. Well, how about that opening game for the surprising New England Patriots?
Everybody's happy, aren't they? Everybody's walking around New England. Oh, look at this. We're 1-0. We're the Patriots. We're really good again. It's, you know, it is nice to see. I joke because I walked into work Monday and, you know, everybody I see at work at the station's like, hey, how was your weekend? Great. How about the Patriots? I'm like, yeah, I know. The Patriots won. Everyone is good. Yep, exactly. And that's great. I mean, I thought it was a great performance. Yes, the Bengals did not look ready to start the season. But the Patriots took advantage of that, and they were ready. And, you know, you love to see the brand of football they played on defense. I thought every time the Bengals touched the ball, the Pats defense, it was like a hive of bees. They swarmed toward the football. And that was, I mean, that's a tribute to the coaching staff and the style that they want to play. And there's full buy-in there. And I would say the same thing offensively. I was impressed with, you know, what they were able to do in terms of running the football and the offensive line holding strong, didn't give up a sack with Jacoby Brissett. Like, all of those things are a good recipe to compete every Sunday. And if the Patriots are going to do that, then I think we'll enjoy watching them on Sundays. And that's all you can ask for if you're a fan.
Was it the right choice to start Jacoby Brissett here, at least for the first few games of the season?
I think so. And I think the players are behind it too. And, you know, you can tell the whole take them to the hill thing, I think, has been a big thing in the locker room. And I think Brissett is one of the lead guys on that. And clearly they respect him as a veteran. You know, they respect him as a guy. And, you know, they're okay with it. And with all the talk here of, you know, I think it was Evan Washburn with CBS that kind of got the intel that the Patriots have been trying to split some, you know, a good percentage of reps toward Drake May in practice, about 30%, getting him first team reps. That's a good thing. That's a great balance of, you know, a veteran that knows the offense, a quarterback that can give up a little bit of that in practice so that the young guy can grow and learn and be seasoned in practice and get those meaningful reps. So, you know, I think that's a great thing to hear, and it's a great sign that, you know, I think everybody's on board and there's full buy-in. And, you know, that's a great thing to start the season. And, you know, we'll see. They come home Sunday. They've got the Seahawks. You know, it's a good team offensively. But, you know, I don't think they're a world beater. So if the Patriots can play solid football again, I think they'll compete. And that's, again, all you can ask for.
Well, I was happy for Jerod Mayo. It's never easy to be the guy that replaces the legend, although it wasn't made easier for him by the way the Patriots played the last couple of years.
I think so. But, you know, I think the biggest thing I was watching for was just the buy-in from the players, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, and what it would be like. And they were fully bought in. They're fully behind Mayo and a good young defensive coordinator, I think, in DeMarcus Covington, who's kind of put his own stamp and style on this thing and wanted to play more aggressive, you could tell. And that's why I talk about the defense like they're a hive of bees, because it felt like even on plays where it's first and 10 and, you know, it's a little, you know, throw in the flat or something like that, you know, guys are just going straight toward the football, hard hitting, aggressive, physical. I was like, ooh, you know, that Jonathan Jones play on fourth down, I thought was a huge play in the game. And the fact that he hit the guy that caught the ball so hard, I was like, I love that the tone that they're setting. So, you know, a Bill Belichick defense was always consistently good, but for it to carry over and then have a little bit of a different flavor, I thought was a really, really great sign here for Jerod Mayo early on in his tenure.
Speaking of Coach Belichick, you dealt with him for years. Did you know that he would be this good on TV?
Yeah. I just wish he would, you know, not ignore the team that he used to coach. I know Bill likes to. One thing I know about Bill too, I know he likes to, you know, hold grudges, and he's very calculated in the way that he speaks and things that he talks about. And every media appearance he's done this week, you know, there was a pretty big upset by his former team, and he doesn't seem to want to talk about it much. And, you know, that's classic Bill, but it's also, honestly, it's a bit of a shame because I would love to hear what he has to say about it. You know, and I know it's still fresh. The wound is still fresh there, but I do want to hear what he has to say about the Patriots because I think it would be really, really interesting. But, you know, maybe it'll take some time. We'll see.
College football, a big one for the Rhode Island Rams this weekend as they host a pretty good Campbell team. What's going on with Rhode Island's running game? Haven't really got that going yet.
Not really, not yet. You know, obviously some turnover this offseason and, you know, new faces at quarterback. You know, first week it was Devin Farrell standing out. Last week, both he and Helms got some work there against Minnesota, but you know, we'll see. You know, they're still, I think, kind of finding their feet offensively. I think defensively, I like the style that they're playing. They have, you know, a couple of guys that are tone setters, particularly a guy like A.J. Pena, who happens to be a former student of Professor Coit at the University of Rhode Island.
Nice.
Kid, but also a really tough football player. You know, but he sets the tone defensively. And, you know, I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, when they find their rhythm offensively, what it'll look like. But, you know, they brought in some guys that, you know, like Grant, who can run the football. And so as we get into CAA play here, you know, I'm interested to see, you know, what their identity will be on that side of the ball. But, you know, the great thing about what Jim Fleming's done with that program is that they're consistently competitive now in the league. And, you know, they get great talent that comes in. So, you know, they will find their footing and they'll be competitive here going forward this season. I expect that.
All right. We wish them well until we're down there and hope we see you in late October when we come down to play the Rams.
Yeah, I'll at the very least have to come down and make that big climb to the press box just so I can see your smiling face up there.
It's worth making that, whatever it is, 79 steps or whatever we counted years ago to get there. And it's easier if you're just walking up on your own and not carrying a big box of radio gear.
It is true. It is true. But, you know, I've got my own climb that I make at Brown Stadium on Saturdays as well. I'll have to count the steps at Brown Stadium too, because that is a bit of a haul. But that's been my I climb the last few years doing Bears games and Ivy League football too. So yeah, I guess it's just sort of a staple on Saturdays in the fall around here in New England. Get our workout in.
There you go.
But I could use it, so I don't mind.
Nick, always a pleasure talking with you. Appreciate you making time today. We'll catch up with you again before too long.
A pleasure as always, Dr. Kimball. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Professor Coit. Nick Coit.